وقد لا رد لما قضيت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك ويا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. اللهم انا نسألك خير هذا اليوم فتحه ونصره ونوره وبركته وهداه ونعوذ بك من شر ما فيه وشر ما بعده. رضينا بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبسيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رسوله ونبيه. اللهم بك أصبحنا وبك أمسينا وبك نحيا وبك نموت فلك الحمد ولك الشكر وإليك النشور. أصبحنا أصبح الملك لله رب العالمين لا شريك لك. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك يا رب العالمين. أعوذ بكلمات الله التامة من شر ما خلق. بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. وصلى الله على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Yesterday we had started a new chapter, the chapter باب الرجاء, the chapter on hope. Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام has mentioned that الإيمان بين الخوف والرجاء, that this iman of ours is between fear and hope. A person doesn't become so hopeful that he now goes into sin and he just has hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. And at the same time, a Muslim doesn't, a person with iman, he doesn't have so much of fear now that he goes into a depression. But it's a beautiful balance between the two. When a person has this balance, then it allows him to move on the straight path. He doesn't go into any extreme. Why? Because he has a nice balance, like that plane with two wings, it's able to gain that necessary altitude. If it just had one wing, it will never go up, it will never be able to move. Similarly, that bird with one wing, it can't fly. So therefore, Islam has got a beautiful balance, has got both wings, and allows a person to progress like this. So we did some ayats yesterday. Allah Pak mentioned, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. O my servants, those that have wronged and oppressed themselves, do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins. So sometimes the person might think back and think that in my life, so many sins I committed, so many big sins, major sins, how will I ever get forgiven? This ayat is giving us a lot of hope. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins. إِنَّهُ emphasis هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one that is غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ, the most forgiving, the most merciful. One other ayat we did, وَهَلْ نُجَازِي إِلَّا الْكَفُورُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, we'll only punish those that are extremely ungrateful. In other words, person has reached an extreme level. So then there's hope for every one of us, inshallah, that Allah Pak mustn't make us from that extreme level. But there's some hope for us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't take us to task and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't punish us. So the hadith that we did yesterday in Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man shahid an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Hazrat Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever witnesses, whoever testifies that there's none worthy of worship except Allah and he does not ascribe any partner to him, wa anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, and the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger, wa anna Isa abdullahi wa rasuluhu wa kalimatuhu alqaha ila Maryam wa ruhum min, and that Isa alayhi salatu wa salam is the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the messenger of Allah, and he is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the spirit from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is meaning is that he was born without the medium of a father. So the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly by the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or the other possibility ulama explain is that from the cradle he spoke. So therefore he was known as Kalimatullah, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa anna al-jannata haqq. And then this person he testifies and that jannat is a reality. Wa an-naru haqq. And that jahannam is a reality. These are not just myths. We are being told about something that doesn't exist, but they are haqiqah, they are reality. أدخله الله الجنة على ما كان من العمل. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter this person. Now he just had these beliefs. In other words, this person didn't do too much. There's no tahajjud mentioned here, there's no zakat mentioned here, there's no salat mentioned in this hadith. But he just have to do what his beliefs. In other words, this person's beliefs are correct. أَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ الْجَنَّةَ عَلَى مَا كَانَ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter him into Jannah despite his actions. In other words, his actions may have been very, very weak. Very little this person did. And that little that he did also was with a very poor quality. But because his beliefs were correct, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter this person into Jannah. So this is what is meant by Babu Raja, the chapter on hope. It creates so much of hope in a person. Nobody ever loses hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today's hadith, and Abi Dharr radiallahu anhu, qala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thaliha, O Azida, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu says, the Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said, that he who brings one good deeds, falahu ashru mathaliha, Allah Pak will multiply 10. In other words, he'll get 10 of its like in return. And what nukta, one point ulama pull out from this is, man ja'a bil hasana, he who brings the good deed. In other words, this person does a good deed and he takes care of it. Because sometimes a person can do a good deed, but he's not careful and then he'll lose his good deed. In other words, a person doesn't take care, he starts showing. Now he did something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe he sponsored one masjid, for example, or one borehole, or he gave some charity. But then he tells the whole town, now he did a good deed, so he's got it. But then Riyah comes in and he tells the whole town about it and he starts showing off. So now that good deed, he starts spoiling it by showing off and going and telling people about it when it should have been done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is telling us that he who brings the good deed, in other words, he does it, he looks after it, he takes care of it, and then he brings in a day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah will do out of his greatness and his magnificence, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Kareem, being Kareem, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being so generous, Allah will give this person 10 in return. Or it says, oh Azida, or I will give him more than that, I'll increase even more than 10. Where can we ever get an investment like that? A person does 1 and he doesn't get 2. 2 is 100%. If a person does 10, is 1000%. Just for doing 1, oh Azida, I'll give him more than even 1000%. وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِسَيَّةِ فَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا وَأَغْفِرُ. And if a person, on the other hand, he does a sin, Allah Pak says that I'll give him the recompense of that sin. In other words, I won't multiply the sin by 10. When it came to good, I was multiplying it by 10 or more. When it came to good, it was 10 or more. When it came to a sin, he'll get the like of the sin. In other words, I won't multiply the sin. Oh, أَغْفِرُ, oh, I even may forgive him. So in other words, if I forgive him, there'll be nothing also for that sin. وَمَنْ تَقَرَّبَ مِنِّي شِبْرًا تَقَرَّبْتُ مِنْهُ ذِرَاعًا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining and showing his love and his mercy for his servants. That person that comes towards me, shibran, one balish, from the baby finger till the thumb, that hand span that is known as shibr. If a person comes close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what it means, if a person does with his ita'at, with his obedience and with his a'mal, he goes close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so little. One hand span like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taqarrabtu minhu dhira'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes towards him one cubit. One cubit is from the tip of the middle finger till the elbow. The tip of the middle finger till the elbow. So in other words, he only went from the baby finger till the thumb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went, this is an expression, it almost doubled. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so excited about this person being obedient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is meant by Allah coming close doesn't mean Allah physically gets close. But Allah Pak's mercy starts coming on this person double to what he did. That person that comes towards me one arm's length, meaning from the one cubit's length from the tip of the middle finger till the elbow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I come to him one full hand's length, meaning from the tip of the finger right up till the elbow. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how close a person is coming, Allah is doubling that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing much more than that. In other words, just a means of showing the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah Pak mentions, وَمَنْ أَتَانِي يَمْشِي أَتَيْتُهُ هَرْوَةً. That person that comes to me running, walking, I go towards him running. So in other words, he is coming to me walking, but he's coming, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I go towards him running, meaning my mercy starts pouring upon that person now who starts coming towards me like this. وَمَنْ لَقِيَنِي بِقُرَابِ الْأَرْضِ خَطِيئَةً لَا يُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. That person that meets me on the day of Qiyamah, that person that meets me, and his sins are as much as the whole world. So much of sin this person. Can you imagine China, Japan, Asia, Australia, Africa, and going to the West and to Europe. Full of sins. This person has got the whole world full of sins, all the oceans, everything full of sins. But this person didn't commit any shirk. In other words, he believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but his gunas were so much. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقِيتُهُ بِمِثْلِهَا مَغْفِرَةً. I meet him with the equal amount of forgiveness on the day of Qiyamah. In other words, if he came with the whole world full of sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is meeting him with the whole world full of forgiveness. So it doesn't matter how much of guna this man came with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared to meet him with the equivalent amount of maghfirat and forgiveness. From these hadith we learn that the mercy and the hope that one should have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we understand and appreciate the beauty of Islam. If you only heard these hadith without doing the hadith wal-khawf and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then everyone will rest. That I don't have need to do any actions. The hadith said doesn't matter. He just has belief in Nabi alayhi salatu salam, in Isa alayhi salatu salam. He didn't ascribe any partners. Then Allah will enter him into Jannah. So who will do any good deeds after that? And who will be careful of staying away from guna? So therefore it was necessary to do all, and it was necessary for all of the hadith on khawf. So therefore we find the balance in Islam. So those people that pick out on Islam, that why does Islam speak about Jahannam, and why does Islam speak about the day of Qiyamah and the punishment in the Qabr, this is the reason. Because Islam can also only speak about hope, but who will take heed and practice upon it? So this is the beauty of Islam that's not found in any other religion, where Islam speaks both about the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about azab, and also speaks about hope. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.